everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Armchair GMs. I'm Tommy Tellerino, and alongside me today is the one and only Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how are you doing on this amazing Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, baseball season's back. The Yankees have won their first two series. Life is good. Garrett Cole's back. Life is good. Aaron Judge is the captain. Life is good.
So the Yankees roller coaster, it's like right here right now?
It's just going up? Yeah, where it's, well, I don't know. You know, the first four spots in the lineup inspire a lot of joy. Well, first five, really. Gleyber's having a great season. Six through eight does not inspire joy. Makes me very sad.
Is that where is Volpe batting? He was batting like nine, wasn't he?
He's batting nine. Nine makes me very happy, but six through eight, very sad. The rotation outside of Garrett Cole does not make me very happy right now. But it's fine. We'll manage until
we'll get those dog days in August, and
until Rodon and Severino come back. Hey man, the Red Sox
I'm gonna be here
to a better start than everyone thought they'd be.
Hey, you know what? It is what it is, man. They got like 155 more games. So it's okay.
That's true. You just got swept by the Pirates, so.
I ain't too worried. Corey Kluber's going to be a Wong Dong Tiger pretty soon. I'm not wrong. No. He did okay.
Pick up the phone, Corey. Pick up the phone.
He was good yesterday, I will say. He only gave up one run. But we got one more division to get through for these NFL offseason, I'd say, outlooks now.
Yeah.
It's the AFC South. It was a tight race last year. Jacksonville ended up walking away with the division win or division title. We called it. We said those Ronnie Bass and Dougie P's cooking up something. They cooked up the Tennessee Titans. They got that division. I think though we gotta start out with the team that's made probably the most moves in this division is in a right direction, I'd say. That's the Houston Texans. You know, I think the best thing they could have done, getting head coach D'Amico Ryans, they get them, they got a high pick. I think they're on the right track. What do you think?
I can't say enough good things about D'Amico Ryans. He's very passionate. He's a leader of men. I mean, Vic Fangio was out of football for a little bit, but, you know, in his absence, I feel like D'Amico Ryans is the best defensive coordinator in football. I don't think it was relatively close, to be honest. He changes the entire culture of that team. And he brought in Jimmy Ward. He's bringing Jimmy Ward with him. He brought in a couple other 49ers bringing with him to, you know, get himself set up. But they re-signed Laremy Tunsil. Signed a couple vets like Dalton Schultz, Robert Woods, Shaq Mason. And the only guy they really lost was Brandon Cooks. And like you said, they have a couple high picks. They have the 2 and 12. A lot of mock drafts I've been looking at have them taking, you know, Stroud or Young, and then they have them taking a wide receiver at 12. So getting that offense going in the right direction. I like where they're headed. It's a long process. And I'm glad they gave D'Amico a 6-year deal. Showing that faith in him, Tommy. You got to have that faith in the coach and give him time to bring his guys in, get his system up and going. I think it's unfair to judge this Houston team outside of you want to see growth every year. I don't want to see them go, you know, 3-13 or 3-14, and then the next year the same record. I need to see growth every year. But I wouldn't expect a winning record for, you know, 2 years at least. And then I want to see you start competing. But they get their guy in there at two, you know, get their quarterback, get a couple weapons, get this defense set up. There's some talent that I think D'Amico's going to coach up on that side as well. I think they're off to a hot start.
Yeah, you know, I thought they've done a great job. And you just got to look for improvement, like you said. I think the 2 and 12 picks are going to be really big for them. But after that, they got 33, 65, and 73, which I think that's a lot of picks to help build up a young roster. That's a good young core you're getting in this draft. Needs going in were quarterback, center, linebacker, edge, wide receiver, and D-line. They needed a lot of help on the defensive side. Like you said, they kind of signed a lot of veterans. At least the free agency, you know, they had the fifth most cap space with around $37.5 million, a little bit more than that, which I think they use pretty well. You know, they signed guys to a lot of one-year deals, I thought. But, you know, people like Dalton Schultz, they got the one-year deal. They had Devin Singletary to the backfield, which I think is a 1-2 combo with him and Pierce. I think that's very good. I think it's going to help out whatever rookie quarterback they're going to bring in. Because Pierce, he was probably the only bright spot for Houston last year. Devin Singletary's a veteran. He'll help a little bit. They added a couple pieces to the offensive line. They re-signed Tunsil, like you said. I think there's still work to be done there. But like you said, he's got to have some time to build up this team, Ryan's. And I think they are committed to that. They realized, hey, we can't keep just bringing in this head coach and expecting results. So I'm excited for Houston. As for that second pick, you think it's going to be Stroud or Young off the board first for the draft?
I think it's Stroud. We'll get into more of this, you know, in the next couple of weeks because we're going to start our mock draft series. But to me, when I'm looking at those two, and I want to preface this and say, I don't claim to be an expert in anything football. I'm just an average guy that likes talking about football. So I don't know the intricacies that go with playing quarterback or playing any position at the NFL level, right? But from, you know, the resources that I've looked at and some of the analysts that I've listened to, Stroud and Young are the same player, like same level of prospect in my eyes.
Yeah.
I just think that with Josh McCown there in Carolina, he has that connection with CJ Stroud. I think that's the guy they're going with. And I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. So I think Houston, you know, you take whoever doesn't get picked there between Young and Stroud. The only thing I'll say about Anthony Richardson, I guess, because he's still in talks to be kind of that number one, he obviously has the most upside because of his athleticism and his legs and everything. But in terms of, I think, pro-ready prospect who can come in and make an impact and isn't going to have that much development time, it's Young and Stroud.
Yeah, and honestly, if you watch any of their game in college, they're both, I felt like, they play up to the big moment.
Yeah.
At least Bryce Young. I watched a little bit more of Alabama games than Ohio State games. Bryce Young was phenomenal, but so was CJ Stroud. They both can throw the ball well. They're both very smart, so I, like you said, I don't think you can go wrong. Like you said, the only key loss for this team was Brandon Cooks, and I feel like that's very replaceable. You know, he's getting up. I'm not saying he's getting up there in age, but he's definitely on the back end of his career now, I feel like. They got a fifth-round pick for him, I believe. Solid. I mean, you're not missing much because he kind of sat out, I'd say, what, 7 weeks last year?
Yeah, he didn't want to be there. He wants to be on a contender, which, you know, with how much he's moved in his career and been traded, and yes, he wants to be on a contender. I understand that. Yeah, I feel like Houston's had a nice little offseason, you know, with the wide receiver room. You have Robert Woods coming in. They have Nico Collins. They have John Mechie, who should be healthy this season, hopefully. And then you're adding a guy at 12, possibly, or whenever in the draft. Like, I feel like this is a decent enough group for a first-year starter. You want to see if they can develop, and then you go get them the guy. You know, once you see, like, okay, this guy has potential, this guy has talent, he's starting to put it together, let's go get him a wide receiver so he can make that leap, a la Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. And now, hopefully, you know, Justin Fields is kind of looking like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, they do have a young receiving core with Mechie and Nico Collins now. I feel like if you add in another rookie receiver, I think that's great. I think it's a great idea just because you're adding another playmaker that's young. You'll have him on a rookie contract for a while, and I think it'll help when you get to that level where you do need to sign people.
And I think out of Carolina and Houston, if I was a quarterback prospect, if I was Stroud or Young, I'd be hoping to go to Houston, to be honest. I know that Carolina's offensive line is better. I know that they probably have better weapons right now. I don't know about, you know, Frank Reich is a proven head coach. D'Amico Ryans isn't. So I understand that on the outside, on the surface level, Carolina, and I've preached this on this podcast. I think Carolina can win that division with a rookie quarterback because of how good I think that team is, especially offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing for a rookie quarterback. I think Carolina has a very underrated offensive line. I think they have vet weapons. But Tommy, the big thing about Houston, that trade for Deshaun Watson was massive. They have a bunch of future draft capital that they can continue to build cheap and controllable assets around their rookie quarterback. And you see what a team like Cincinnati did. You know, they had the Tyler Boyd. They had the T. Higgins. You know, the next year after they got Joe Burrow, what did they go do? They went and drafted Ja'Marr Chase. So, you know, Houston has, I feel like, that potential to be like the next Cincinnati for whichever quarterback, you know, they draft.
Yeah, and I will say Houston and Carolina both did this. They did a good job setting up their rookie quarterbacks to not just fail on the first year. Because I feel like you see that a lot lately in the NFL is they're asking a lot of the rookie quarterbacks, all right, come in. You got to produce. I know that we don't have much around you, but you got to produce for us somehow. So I think they're doing a good job with both of those.
It is definitely backwards logic to come in, especially like what they did in Chicago, where they spend so much of the assets on the defense and kind of getting their guys in there the first year, which I understand. Matt Eberflus is a defensive coach. They put nothing around Justin Fields. So just ask him to kind of, you know, pilot the plane while they're building it. It is backwards logic. That doesn't say go out and get Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen and all these great veteran wide receivers for this unproven guy. That's not what I mean. You get him a decent offensive line. It doesn't have to be great. Decent. You know, rookie quarterbacks, the biggest thing is pressure. Pressure, 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 pressure. These guys are used to playing in stacked offenses usually in college. Bryce Young, stacked offense. Well, but not as stacked as Mac Jones or Tua, but he played on Alabama. They had really good athletes, really good offensive line. Ohio State, I mean, they're the most stacked wide receiver room we've maybe ever seen in college. So they're coming in. They're going to face a lot of pressure, way more than they probably faced in college. Get them a decent enough offensive line. Get them some veterans. I think Adam Thielen's a perfect type of receiver for a rookie quarterback. He stays on time in his routes, has good hands, understands how to beat every type of coverage, and can help that quarterback understand what he should be looking for, you know, when a receiver's running routes at the NFL level, what he, you know, he can define truly what open is. Open at the college level and open at the NFL level is two completely separate things. If you have a step on a guy in the NFL, you're open.
Yeah. And, you know, they also added in DJ Chark to that receiving room too, and Hayden Hurst as well, who they're kind of guys outside of DJ Chark a little bit, but Thielen and Hurst, they've been known as security blankets for their whole career. So, like you said, it's good logic setting up these quarterbacks for success, what they're doing. Anything else you want to add for Houston?
Nah.
Well, we'll go to Jacksonville next just because we'll start with or we'll go second with a division winner. Jacksonville, I felt like they didn't really need to do much this offseason because they did a lot of last offseason. They had one of the least amount of cap space in the league. They kept everything that they needed, I felt like, outside of Juwan Taylor leaving. That's a big loss, but they added Josh Wells probably as his replacement. Corner, or actually secondary as a whole, is still a big issue. Outside of that, I feel like, you know, their wide receiver room probably could get better, but you're adding Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk, and you still have Zay Jones and you have Evan Ingram. You got to see what they can do. I think those two will be a good combo. It's just been a quiet offseason, but I think it's a good quiet for them.
Yeah, I think they still need to add talent to this offensive line, obviously. Juwan Taylor leaving is a huge loss, but you assume that Trevor Lawrence is going to take that next step. You have ETN, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram. The best weapons in the AFC South, without a doubt. It's not even close. When you look at it, they might have the best quarterback. You know, I think you have to say that, at least for the next season. You know, we'll see who Houston drafts or if, you know, the Colts draft somebody. Maybe the best running back. Jonathan Taylor's still there. Derrick Henry. Travis Etienne, you know, is right up there. You know, he was electric. Definitely the best receivers. That's not close.
Yeah.
So, best offense in the AFC South. You just got to hope that you shore up the offensive line a little bit. And like you said, the secondary is it's kind of a disaster. The Shaquille Griffin contract just did not work out for them. But, you know, we'll see. I kind of think it is going to be kind of a season where they're going to have to outscore a lot of people. But I do like their front seven. And I do think Arden Key is kind of a key loss because he's a good rotational piece. He's very productive. But the guys that they still have on that line, I think, is very good, very solid. So hopefully I can kind of cover up some of the deficiencies in the secondary. But, yeah, I mean, Jacksonville didn't need to do a whole lot. But I think it's because they could have definitely added some key pieces. I just think they did so much last offseason that they didn't really have the flexibility to do it this offseason, which is fine. I still think they're going to win this division. So I think they're still on schedule. But they definitely need to look to shore up this defense for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're in a good position in the draft to do that because they got the 24, 56, 88, and 121. I think you could probably go all defense with those, whether it be secondary, whether it be defensive line, whatever you need. The one thing I will say, you know, since they haven't made a lot of moves and they kept a lot of people, it's just another year in the system. So you're not having a lot of people learn a new system, which I think is good. That's going to benefit them. You're going to see Trevor Lawrence in the second year of Dougie P. Dougie P is an amazing offensive coach. I mean, the offense was great this year. You got Evan Engram back. That was a big deal at first. They didn't know if they were going to be able to get him back or not. I know they franchise tagged him, but he was key for that offense. You know, he kind of made the offensive move at times. Christian Kirk, you know, he got paid a lot, but it's probably not worth a lot. But he definitely showed that he can be a bigger wide receiver than he was in Arizona. And you're adding Calvin Ridley, who Calvin Ridley has a great track record, but just don't let him gamble down there in Florida. We know how that goes. I'm excited for Jacksonville as well. I think, like you said, they have to be the favorites to win this division because, you know, Houston, they're 2 or 3 years away. Indy, I think they're 2 or 3 years away. And Tennessee, we'll get to them a little bit. I don't see them coming close to Jacksonville again in this division.
Well, let's talk about Tennessee. I'll never count out Mike Vrabel. I think he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. And I can definitely, we've seen it with the Titans. They've had the most injuries in the NFL every year for what seems like the past 3 or 4 years. And they always find a way to compete. Thing is, the division was a whole lot weaker, you know, in these previous years. And now I do think it's going to get a little bit better. I think Houston's going to be well coached. I think Houston's defense is going to be pretty decent, to be honest. You know, offensively, it's going to be, you know, led by rookie quarterback, so that's going to be kind of rough. But you know, you have Jacksonville, great offense. The Colts, while I do think they need to draft a quarterback at 4, Gardner Minshew is a perfectly capable guy to start the first, you know, 6-7 weeks of the season and get them some wins that they probably shouldn't get. Especially, you know, he's in a system with Shane Steichen, so he understands that offense. He was just there. Tennessee, you don't have a quarterback. I mean, you have Ryan Tannehill, but it's just weird. This seems like they tore it down. They haven't really got the replacements in yet. They released a lot of guys. They have the 11, 41, 72, so they don't even have 147, 186. They don't have a ton of draft capital. They do have one of my favorite signings of the offseason. Sean Murphy Bunting going to Tennessee, I think, is perfect. I think he's a very good corner. But this offense, I mean, who is on it right now? Like, really think it's Chig Okonkwo and Treylon Burks. And you're hoping Kyle Phillips is a guy, you know, and he played, like, one healthy game last year, so we don't even know. And then you have that Ryan Tannehill and a 29-year-old Derrick Henry, who, again, is the king, won't, you know, bet against him. He's proven me wrong the past 3 years when I thought he was going to start slowing down. He just keeps going. But are we really going to keep doing this? You know, like, this is not a better offense than Jacksonville. It's probably not a better offense than the Colts. So you're hoping defensively. Secondary always gets injured. You have a lot of young, talented guys in that secondary. The linebacker should be better with Azeez Ashir. your defensive line, you've made these investments like Bud Dupree, and it hasn't worked out. You know, getting a Reddick back should definitely help. Or not Reddick.
Landry?
Yes, Harold Landry. Getting Harold Landry back should definitely help. He's, you know, a very talented edge rusher. I'm not very impressed with what Tennessee's doing, and I don't know where they're going from here.
Yeah, they're kind of in a tricky situation with the cap. I felt like they released a lot of people, and I think the offensive line is taking a big hit this free agency, which I think is going to play a factor to Derrick Henry. Because like you said, Derrick Henry's 29 now. I think, will he be 30 by the start of the season or during the season at all?
I don't know. He may turn 30 this season.
Which, that's huge, I feel like, because for someone like him, who's taking a lot of tackles and he's breaking through a lot of tackles as well, I don't think his legs will be as fresh if his offensive line isn't as great. It's still okay, but it's definitely taking a drop off.
I think it'll be better than it was last year. They've added some guys like Daniel Brunskill. They've added some decent depth guys I think are going to patch the holes, but it's still not a great offensive line. But here's my thing. How are we transitioning into the next phase? Because to me, it seems very obvious that Mike Vrabel did not want to trade A.J. Brown. He wanted to keep that group together, keep it going. We saw it. The GM got fired. The team was a disaster last year. I mean, to put it lightly, they made the playoffs because the division is weak. But that team was not a playoff team. It was a terrible team.
Did they make – I thought they
– Well, Jacksonville made
them. Or Jacksonville. Okay.
I mean, like, they're in the hunt, I guess is what I should have said. And Malik Willis looks like a bust. Now, you know, I won't put him out, but it already seems like Mike Vrabel's not a fan of his. And they're looking to the next, and we keep hearing rumors that they may trade up, that they may take a guy at 11 if he's there. So, I mean – you don't want to hear those things when you just drafted a guy. Granted, he was a what? Late second, third round pick. So I
thought it was a fourth.
They're not that tied to him. I understand that. So I think I said this at the beginning of the offseason. You need to let Mike Vrabel rebuild this team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they'll give him that. I feel like this is going to be a situation where they're going to try to ask him to get the most out of this roster. He's going to do bad, and then he's going to get fired. But I think this is just the start of a rebuild. And I think it can be quick, to be honest. I do think it can be a quick turnaround. But you got to figure out the quarterback situation. You got to figure out this offense very quickly. I like Treylon Burks. I like Chig. But that's all you have.
Yeah, and I will say the quarterback play. You know, Ryan Tannehill, he had some good years in Tennessee. I think his good years in Tennessee are long behind him. Malik Willis, he came into the games last year, and it really felt like it was very handcuffed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't want to let him play quarterback.
Yeah, it's like you're handing the ball off to Derek or throwing this screen pass right here for us. It wasn't that much.
Yeah, I mean, look at when Josh Dobbs came in and played. I mean, the offense, they were taking shots. They were letting him play quarterback. And here's my thing, Tommy. And this goes for any team. If you're going to bring a guy in and you're in a situation like the Titans were in where, you know, you might make the playoffs, but maybe you don't even really want to make the playoffs, play like your hair's on fire. Just let the kid go out there and play. See what you have. Because – Again, we're not there at the practices. We don't know anything about football, right? So I don't know what they're seeing at practice. It's kind of the same thing with Trey Lance. If Brock Purdy's the guy, then I won't say anything. But let the kid go play. Just let him go out there, run the same concepts you always want to run. See if he can figure it out. If he can't, then it's fine. You've let everyone know. Because we don't see what you guys see at practice. So.
Yeah, and last year I know footage came out in practice compared to like him and Tannehill in drills. It didn't look as great as Tannehill, but honestly at this point where the Titans are, like you said, what do you got to lose to have Malik Willis go out there? Even in Brian Tannehill, you're probably losing some of these games. So I think at this point, see what you got for him, like you said, and then you go from there. I think it'd be wrong for him to get fired if after this year, if they don't succeed, just because like you said, he's done a lot with very little with this Tennessee team multiple times. Hasn't just been one season. Yeah,
he needs to be given the reins and let him rebuild this roster. Because again, I don't think this is a long rebuild. If they were very bad this year, and I'm talking stinky, you know, I love that. When you got to make a rebuild bad, it's got to be stinky. I need stinky rebuild from the Titans. I need top three pick. If we can get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May in here next year, this rebuild is going to go very quickly. But and at this point, it seems like they're at a crossroads, and we don't know where we're going.
Yeah. And like you said, just that one quarterback prospect, a higher quarterback prospect, it's all you really need for some of these rebuilds. I mean, we kind of saw it with Philly.
Yeah, even a veteran, even. If you want to go say, you know, if they could have got Derek Carr this offseason or something like that, or, you know, Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to play for two more years, this team can still compete. I just think that Ryan Tannehill is not going to – he's not good enough to elevate this offense because at this point you're not going to get a 49er situation. You're not going to get an Eagle situation or a Miami situation where you have all these weapons and your roster's just fantastic. So if you want to compete soonish, you're going to need a quarterback that can elevate it. Or you're going to have to go with a rookie quarterback so you have all that cap space, you know, to fill in the holes. So if they could have got a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr, someone like that, I feel like they can elevate an offense that's kind of poor.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on that one. Anything else you want to add about Tennessee before we talk about the Colts?
Nah. Let's get on to Indianapolis.
Yeah. They're in a rebuild now. I mean, they did not have the year that they thought they were going to have. Honestly, going into the year, that was one of my sleeper teams was Indianapolis, just because, you know, I thought they had all the pieces. They didn't. There were no pieces by the end of the year. Going into free agency, their top needs were mostly on the offensive side, quarterback, linemen, and receivers. Michael Pittman's an amazing receiver. They need other weapons besides him because he kind of slowed down when they realized, oh, he's the only good receiver on this team. I mean, Pierce stepped up big for Indy.
Yeah, I like Alec Pierce. I just don't know.
I feel like he's more of a slot guy.
Well, I think he can play outside. It's just, is he going to be that guy next year? It might be a... Okay, he needs a couple years to be that wide receiver four, come in and, you know, split sets or something like that. I don't know if he can be the two next year.
And, you know, we've said, I think the past couple years now, the offensive line in Indianapolis should be great. They have one of the best linemen in all football. And It's just been really bad the past 2 years.
I don't know what happened in the past 2 years. I know they've had a lot of injuries. I'm hoping that it's better this year. But I don't know what happened to that offensive line in Indy. But, Tommy, this team is a little bit further ahead than the Titans, at least offensively. I think defensively the Titans are better.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same spot, though. You need a quarterback. And they have the 4 pick. 35-79 as well. So they have a couple top 100 picks. Where do you go if you're Indy? Like, how soon are we trying to compete? I like Shane Steichen as a hire. He's an offensive guy. You know, I love when teams hire offensive coordinators. Where do you go if you're Indy? Where's our rebuild window? How far out are we looking?
See, I always thought the problem with these Indies team is they are trying to patchwork quarterback every year. Every year they did that since Andrew Luck retired. It was Brissett. It was Philip Rivers. It was Carson Wentz. It was Matt Ryan. I'm probably forgetting one. But it's time to get your own quarterback, get a rookie quarterback, have him develop. You're probably not getting Stroud or Young. That's out the window, unless you trade up. But I don't see him trading up right now. You could go out and get Lamar, but with all that going on, we'll talk about just drafting a quarterback. You're probably going to go after, I think, the best bet is Will Levis. So I think have him sit for maybe a year or two behind Gardner Minshew. Minshew knows the system. Have Levis develop a little bit because he is very raw still, I believe. And then they still have some pieces. You know, they have Jonathan Taylor as well at running back. They can beef up the wide receiver room a little bit. I still think the defense is solid. They didn't lose much on the defensive side yet. I mean, Gilmore was a big loss, I felt like, because the corners could be a little shaky at times. But I'm saying around 2 or 3 years. I think you can get back 2 or 3 years.
I think they could surprise some people with Gardner Minshew and maybe be a little bit more competitive. So I'll give them after this year, maybe they need a second year, but I think they definitely need this year to hit a reset button. It wouldn't surprise me to see them be a wild card team. You know, if Shane Steichen is as good as I think he's going to be, they could kind of compete in that second year of his, definitely in the third year, I think. I like the talent around this roster. I just think it needs to be molded together. The offensive line needs to be finally, you know, fixed, which you have some talented guys there. It shouldn't be hard to get that unit together. They just need playing time together, and guys need to stop going out with injuries, you know, things like that. But the Colts are just, I feel like they're a team that's going to rebuild this year and people are going to sleep on and they're going to surprise people and win 9 or 10 games out of nowhere.
I could see it happening. One thing I will say, you know, they were top 15 in cap space, but I kind of like what they did. They kind of just brought in some of these veterans to kind of just bolster up depth. So I think that's going to play well into their favor. And they haven't really lost a lot. I mean, they lost Ngakoue, Gilmore, and Pryor. I think
I will say this. Ngakoue and Gilmore, definitely big losses. But Ebukam and Taven Bryan should help that defensive line a lot. They haven't replaced Gilmore, but that's fine. You can always draft a guy. Tommy, Chris Ballard has to stop being so passive. If you're going to draft a quarterback, why not go after Lamar? And I think this is the perfect segue because we're going into rumors after this. So we'll just go ahead and start it off with why not go after Lamar. We've been talking about this the past couple weeks. To me, the Colts with Lamar Jackson can win this division.
Yeah.
They could be right there with Jacksonville. So why not go after him after the, you know, you can wait until after the draft so you have to give up your 24 and 25 instead of the 4. That's fine. But why not go after him? It doesn't make any sense to me for that team specifically. Now, for the Titans, that offense is not very good, but I would still go after Lamar even if I was the Titans. But the Colts, it seems like they want to compete fast. They have, you know, offensive line, you can patchwork that, get it to be a decent spot. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, solid-ish defense. Seems like if you got an elite-level quarterback like Lamar Jackson, that team would be a whole lot better, a whole lot quicker. Especially when you have a guy like Shane Steichen, we just saw the offense that he ran in Philly. Lamar would be amazing in that type of offense. What?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I'd say the only thing holding them back is giving up that number 4 pick. That's it. Maybe what they do, maybe at the number 4 they draft maybe an offensive lineman or something, or maybe a defensive line. I don't know exactly what it is. I think we'll have to wait and see on draft night how that plays out. But honestly, maybe after the draft, they're like, okay, we got our top pick. If we add Lamar, we're giving up our 24 and 25 pick, but we're probably not going to need it because Lamar's going to put us in a good place where that pick's going to be what? Probably around 15 at the earliest?
At worst.
You know what I mean?
You know,
at the worst.
Like 19 to 30s, you know?
Yeah. So I don't think the Colts are just out yet. We talked about this, or you said it last episode. You're going to see, I think, more Lamar Jackson trade talk after the draft just because teams are hesitant to give up some of these draft picks this year. I think we'll have to wait and see. But I agree. I think the Colts should go after Lamar Jackson. But can I see him drafting a quarterback? Absolutely.
Absolutely. You said Will Levis. I'm on the Anthony Richardson train just because I like everything about Will Levis. I like better on Anthony Richardson. I think he has more upside. And I think he'd fit well in a Shane Steichen system. But I'd go get Lamar. You're hoping either one of them turns out to be as good as Lamar Jackson. That's the thing. And like I said, we're going into our rumor segment now, so I guess we'll transition. The Ravens, same, you know, flip side of this coin. We're talking about the Colts and Atlanta and Tennessee and all these teams going after Lamar. The Ravens have said, you know, they'll consider drafting a quarterback. They have quarterbacks in their top 31 guys on the board. I feel like every team has, you know, probably has that. And it just depends on how the board plays out. Should the Ravens consider drafting a quarterback, Tommy? Should that be really a focus? Should they trade up to draft a quarterback?
Their number one priority should be re-signing Lamar. That I don't think they should be looking at a quarterback right now. At least drafting a quarterback. They're going to need someone besides Tyler Huntley at quarterback if they don't get Lamar. We've talked about this for weeks. They still can't get a deal done. I think Harbaugh wants Lamar back. They're not really talking about it in press conferences. There's no reason why they should not go out and try to get Lamar back over drafting a quarterback, because then it's another 4 or 5 years probably until he reaches Lamar's level. Lamar is, in my opinion, Anthony Richardson's great. I'd say it's about a 50-50 chance whether he becomes a player like Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Him and Levis are just so raw.
Yeah.
It's not, and I saw this on Twitter. Someone was like, Will Levis is my favorite draft prospect. I know everyone wants to see him fail. We got to get rid of this whole mantra. If I don't like a guy, if I start, you know, I troll every day about, we're in the Dynasty League, so I troll every day about Anthony Richardson having accuracy concerns. I called him the best running back prospect of all time. It's not that I don't think these guys are good. I want to see everyone succeed. I'm not a hater. Some players I don't want to see succeed. You know, that I'll be honest. But these guys are coming in. They're rookies. You know, they're fresh out of college. They're my age. I want to see these guys succeed, of course. I'm betting against that they will get there, though. Their prospect profiles just aren't strong. You get a guy like Anthony Richardson, 58% completion percentage behind the line of scrimmage. My brother in Christ, what are you doing?
That's like 2 or 3 yards right next to you.
Behind the line of scrimmage, we're talking about checkdowns and screen passes.
Yeah.
That's not going to play.
Yeah.
Will Levis, 27% on deep balls. That's like your whole thing.
He's got a big arm.
So it's just things like that. Accuracy concerns are always a huge thing because everyone wants to say, well, Josh Allen did it.
And
Jalen Hurts did it. Outlier. That's not what you want to. I don't want. That's their 88th, 90th percentile outcome being like those guys. Who has the strongest 50th percentile outcome? CJ Stroud, I show.
And honestly, you know, you talk about Allen and Hurts. The guys picked before him were the safer pick. Those were the teams, you know, we kind of talked about it, like, you could take Richardson, but you're probably going to have to pay the price if he doesn't hit. Those teams at the time did not want to take that price. That's why Baker goes first. You know, he's got the good track record at Oklahoma. He's coached by Lincoln Riley. That's why he goes first. I know everybody looks back and like, oh, it should have been Josh Allen. Hindsight's 20/20, but when you compare your college careers, are you going to take the kid from Oklahoma who was a Heisman and had a good track record, or are you going to take the kid from Wyoming who's very raw and has a big arm?
Yeah, it was completing 56% of his passes against, Wyoming competition. The only quarterback that I had that I thought was going to be really good, and I even said that I was kind of blinded by the media as well, that it was kind of a no-brainer pick, and why did he slide? It was Justin Herbert. Because he went back to school that one last year. They had a terrible offense. And he was off everyone's draft boards and he slid down. But the year before, if he had come out, he'd have been the number one overall pick. So
he's the last guy. Yeah.
Right. And I was blinded by the media. I bought into all the hype. I was like, oh, Justin Herbert's not going to be that good. When the year before, I was like, wow, Justin Herbert's really good. And then it didn't surprise me that he turned out to be really good. I was like, wow, and then my thoughts became, how did Oregon mess this up? You know?
When you're losing home openers to Bo Nix, I mean, you're going to fall.
We go back to the Ravens. We go back to the Colts. We go back and tie this all in. It's why would I want to take Anthony Richardson and Will Levis at four when I could go sign Lamar Jackson. And for the Ravens, why would I want to give up Lamar Jackson? This is, we're going to, the whole next, however many drafts it takes us to get a quarterback is going to be trying to find the next Lamar Jackson. You can have whatever opinions you want about him. You could say he's declining as a passer. You can say his play style is not conducive to long careers. Whatever you want to say. Right now, is Lamar Jackson elite or not? Is Lamar Jackson a top 10 quarterback 100%. In the NFL? Yes. That's all you need to know.
And Lamar Jackson's one once in a generation talent, in my opinion. So it's like, I don't think, honestly, I don't think these guys could be as good as Lamar Jackson, like you said. I mean, he's already elite. You kind of know what you're getting from him. And you get him in an offense where he airs the ball out, I think he becomes a top five quarterback in the league.
Yeah, we've talked about that. He ran a pro-style offense at Louisville. It's not that he can't do it.
It's just frustrating. You know, we're big Lamar Jackson fans. You know, we love the guy. And he's done, I think, has he done some things wrong in this negotiation process? Of course. I mean, it's 50-50. I don't say 50-50, but both sides have been wrong at times.
I think what really ticks me off, and I'm not going to bring it up, and we're not going to talk about it because we've never talked about it. We've joked about it. It's the fact that what Deshaun Watson was going through and what was surrounding him, that he got that contract. Again, now I'm going to go ahead and say this. Removing character concerns at who they are as people, as quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson is better than Lamar Jackson. If he can knock the rust off, go back to his pre-2020 form or whatever, yes, Deshaun Watson was being considered maybe the second best quarterback in the NFL at that point. So I'm not going to argue that Lamar is better than Deshaun. I'm not going to do that, okay? Deshaun was better than Lamar when he, you know, based off the play to get that contract. My thing is, you have a guy that's given his heart to the community, has embraced Baltimore, has always been a good role model to what, you know, Deshaun Watson was going through, the turmoil and all the chaos surrounding him. And they want to make it more. They want to make it injury concerned or this and that, or Lamar didn't want to play. And you know what I mean? It's very frustrating to hear those things in the media.
And he would have played, but like he said, he didn't want to risk his health, and he felt like if he's not 100%, probably not best for the team as well. So, I mean, we'll be back next week for Lamar saga. It's just, it's an every week occurrence. Something
new. It's going to be an every week thing.
There weren't a lot of rumors swirling around the NFL since the last time we had an episode, but the one thing that, I don't know, it kind of shocked me, it caught me by surprise, was Tyreek Hill. I believe he had an interview. I don't know who it was with. And he says he wants to play out his Miami contract, and then he wants to be done with football, or at least playing football. I don't know about you, but that kind of blindsided me just because, you know, he's always been a healthy guy. He probably could play longer. What do you think about this?
Drake once said that he's going to retire at 35, man. He once said it. He said, you know, just recently, he doesn't plan on retiring. He's planning a graceful exit from music, as he so eloquently put it. I'll believe it when I see it. He says it now, and I'm sure he believes it now. But at 32 years old and after 2025, you know, if he's coming off a really good year and his body still feels good, it's hard to take that competitiveness out of a competitor like Tyreek Hill. You know, he says he wants to get in gaming and like that kind of sphere of the internet and the business. And I'm sure he'd be huge there. But yeah, I mean, if he does retire after 2025, he's had a great season. He'd made it to 10 years. He's or a great career. You know, he'd made it 10 years. He'll be applauded. And I don't know if that's going to be enough to get into the Hall of Fame. We know how they like to treat receivers, but he's been a joy to watch. He's been one of the best, you know, guys of our generation. Definitely the fastest player I've ever seen, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, wow, like it just kind of came out of left field for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because someone like him, you don't expect to have an interview like that where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be done because, you know, he is a competitor. I will say if he doesn't win a ring in Miami, I definitely could see him playing longer, which I think it's very possible that Miami doesn't have a ring with his contract, but you never know. They are set up pretty good. But We'll go on to AFC, or we'll keep it in the AFC East. This one I want to bring up because I think this was probably the biggest rumor from yesterday. Apparently, Mac Jones is on the trade block.
No, can I talk about this, Tom? I know your opinion. Yeah. Can I talk about this?
Well, I was going to say something. I was going to say I don't think it's true, and it doesn't make sense for him to be on the trade block over Bailey Zappe if you want to start Bailey Zappe over Mac Jones. That's all I was going to say.
Okay, Tommy, I'm a talk about this.
Okay.
Not even as a Patriots fan, not even as an Alabama fan or a Mac Jones fan, okay? You saw me on draft night. I was ecstatic when the 49ers didn't take Mac Jones. Hindsight? I don't know. Maybe it was a better pick. It doesn't matter. I got to get something off my chest, Tommy. So you're telling me, right, let's flashback. We draft Mac Jones. Who do we compare him to immediately? Who's the first person?
Probably Tom Brady or Jimmy G.
Tom Brady. The GOAT. This kid, fresh out of college, fresh out of having a great career at Alabama. We're comparing him to Tom Brady. He's supposed to lead the next dynasty. Who is his number one wide receiver?
Me.
Jacoby Myers.
Oh.
Kendrick Bourne. Okay.
You.
Cool. He's working with Josh McDaniels. We signed Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith to $150 million combined. Okay. Fine. If he's Tom Brady, he's going to make do with those weapons. Guess what? He's probably not Tom Brady. Every little thing he does, Tom Brady-esque. Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. Has a fine rookie season. I think he had a fine rookie season. Was very solid.
4,000 yards.
Was very solid. Showed some things. Did y'all make the playoffs that year? Y'all got close.
I don't want to talk about what happened after we made the playoffs. We made
the playoffs, though. Playoffs. With Mac in his rookie year.
Yes.
Okay, that's a hell of a rookie season. What do we do the next year? Josh McDaniels leaves.
Yep. You get him a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, so Josh McDaniels leaves. Bill Belichick, who's still on this power trip. I don't know where this came from. Still on this power trip.
His old
Tom
age.
Brady left, trying to prove something. He's a stubborn old man yelling at clouds. We don't get him a offensive coordinator because that's not an important position. Bill Belichick is a defensive coach. I don't know if anyone knows that. I don't know. Maybe Tom Brady's
coach. If you don't, then,
Bill Belichick is a defensive coach. He's also a losing coach without Tom Brady. Just saying, I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, sure. Just saying, without Tom Brady, he was a loser. That's all I'm saying. Just putting that out there. So we don't get an offensive coordinator. Tommy, who do we get? We get Matt Patricia, a failed head coach, defensive coordinator. And I'm thinking, oh, they're bringing in Matt Patricia to be a defensive assistant or like an assistant coach. They don't actually, they don't even give him a title. Then they bring in Joe Judge. Failed head coach, fine special teams guy, but that's all he's ever coached. Hasn't been a coordinator for defense or offense. I'm thinking, Bill's getting the band back together.
No.
Who's the offensive coordinator? I'm thinking maybe he's going to go get Bill O'Brien. No. I'm going to have this defensive coordinator and this special teams coordinator, both failed head coaches, lead my second-year quarterback to success at offensive coordinator, something they know nothing about, neither of them. Okay, fine. Maybe, it's Bill Belichick. I'm not going to question his decisions. It's Bill Belichick. He sees something in him. No, it was terrible. Mac Jones gets injured. Then Bailey Zappe comes in, and the offense is run differently, and he has some moxie. And sure, maybe he's not a terrible backup. He doesn't have the draft pedigree as Mac Jones. Probably doesn't have the upside of a Mac Jones. But now we get into this conflict. Mac Jones is pissed off because he's going from Alabama, where he was properly equipped, his rookie year with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. Terrible head coach. Great offensive coordinator. To this. So he's pissed off. Bill Belichick doesn't like him. All this, all that. He went from he's not Tom Brady to now we're going to trade him because of a terrible second year where he got injured.
Yeah.
Had all this drama. Didn't have an offensive coordinator. Now we want to ship him out? This is horrendous. I don't think it's true, but if it is true, it's laughable. It is laughable.
I was going to say they came out like right after or some of the insiders. They said that's not true at all. I mean, I just want to put this debate to bed. Mac Jones is better than Bailey Zappe. It's just I get that Zappe had some great games last year, but honestly, it was against teams that weren't that great. So, like, what are we comparing? He beat the Lions when the Lions were at the worst.
We see this every once in a while. We'll see a guy come in, and he'll do really well, and then he'll challenge the starter. They're starters for a reason. Yeah. Again, we're not at practice. Bill Belichick, with a contending team, if Bailey Zappe was definitively better than Mac Jones, he would start Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, day one.
Mac Jones came in as a high-floor, low-ceiling guy. This is not a Trey Lance, Brock Purdy situation where if it's even close, you're going to start Trey Lance because he has much more upside than Brock Purdy. Mac Jones is a polished guy. He's one of the most polished quarterback prospects we've seen. He came in, led his team to the playoffs, was very good, made some rookie mistakes, was solid overall. Then we didn't get him an offensive coordinator, had a bunch of drama, had his stubborn old head coach lose the team pretty much, and we still haven't given him any weapons.
Yeah.
And I
think they're going to draft a wide receiver at 14. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
I've heard that they want to get a back. I've heard that they like Bijan.
Really?
Tommy, if they draft Bijan Robinson at 14, when you already have Ramondre Stevenson, Pierre Strong, and James Robinson, what are we doing?
I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, like we said before, Robinson's a great prospect. Wouldn't make sense at all for New England to draft him because they already have three feasible running backs. Is Robinson probably going to be better than Stevenson? Perhaps. But you know what you're getting from Stevenson right now. So
I'll say with confidence that Bijan will come in and be one of the best running backs in the NFL. With confidence. Why do I need – I already have Stevenson.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're going to draft, you need to draft a guy at 14. But the thing is, Bill Belichick doesn't have the best draft record. Maybe you let Bill O'Brien take that pick. That's what you're hoping. It's been malpractice ever since Mac Jones got there. It's just been terrible. I've never seen a dynasty turn this sour. And I don't know if it's Bill Belichick on a power trip. He doesn't like Robert Kraft or whatever. If it's to get back, I don't know what it is. It doesn't make sense.
I will say, if they do take receiver at 14, I'd be happier for the weapons for Mac Jones. Because you got Juju, you got your rookie receiver, you got Tyquan Thornton, Bourne. That's probably your receivers that are the go-to. And then you got Gesicki and Henry. What I like about this, a lot of security blankets. That's what you need for Mac in this third year. Because that's going to help him grow, I believe. He got some deep ball threats in there, but he needs security blankets because that's where he thrives. He thrives in the middle of the field, in between the hash marks, with security blankets.
Yeah, and you know, you have an actual offensive coordinator, so the offense should be ran more effectively. And to stay on the Patriots and to so successfully transition us to our next topic.
Yes.
The Patriots said they would not trade for DeAndre Hopkins, or the only way they would trade for him is if they are giving up no draft capital, which doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to give up players? So now we've heard that DeAndre Hopkins might be cut. I would rather just keep D-Hop than cut him. This is not a vet on his last legs. This is not a Julio situation. D-Hop was very productive last year. I think will be productive for the next couple years. You just keep him.
Yeah. And I think the thing with D-Hop is a lot of teams didn't want to give up. They want the Brandon Cooks deal. I think that's what it is. But they don't want to take on the contract as well. So they want Arizona to pay some of it. I think that's what was with New England. I don't think it was any draft capital. I think it was just early round draft capital, which is fair because you're seeing. But for me, DeAndre Hopkins is head and shoulders above Brandon Cooks. So you're going to have to give up a third or fourth, I believe. I don't think that's a lot for asking for DeAndre Hopkins. I really don't. Like you said, I don't want to see him cut. It doesn't make sense. I've heard Buffalo might go after him. The thing is, I also heard there's rumors too. Stephon Diggs isn't happy in Buffalo. He wants out. Maybe they go after DeAndre Hopkins if Stephon does want out. I don't see that happening, though, this year. Maybe next year. But like you said, DeAndre Hopkins, yes, he's 30 years old, but it's not a banged up 30. We saw what he can do in only 7 games last year. He didn't play football for what? How many weeks? He comes back week 7, and he's one of the best receivers in all of football. So it's, like you said, this is not a player who should be cut based off of skill. No, doesn't make sense.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And we'll end things with one last thing. The Washington Commanders, their set projection sale May 22nd.
Yeah,
is that what it is? Projected sale? Or is that?
Yeah, it's kind of a deadline that people are kind of putting on it, that May 22nd. Okay. It could be sold by May 22nd. We've heard that Dan Snyder's fine with selling to Jeff Bezos now and a whole lot of other things coming out of Washington. I only put this on here as a reason to go back to Lamar.
I was going to say, Lamar Jackson, you, Commander, May 21st.
You have your deadline now. You've put the schedule in motion. All will be forgiven if you do what you should do. You yep. should sign Lamar Jackson to the most egregious contract possible. Make it one that the owners wouldn't dare ever give them. Make it so egregious that they get sick to their stomach just looking at the numbers, and then sell the team and walk out. You don't like the owners. The owners don't like you. They're trying to remove you, Dan. I mean, I know why. You're not a good person. I mean, I'm not defending you by any means. You know, I'm just saying what you should do for us as fans to gain a little bit of respect, just a little bit. Sign Lamar to an egregious, egregious, fully guaranteed contract. The most money the NFL's ever seen. And then walk out.
Yeah.
And walk out. And what are they going to do? Void the contract?
They can't.
No. Exactly. And what's the commissioner going to do? You can't sign this player because you're looking at selling the team. Yeah. You can't say that. We don't know if he's actually selling the team or not.
That's not really fair there, Roger.
Yeah. So I just, you know.
We're on to something. We should put a bid in for Washington now.
I've got $3.
We'll take out a big lump.
Oh, very big long. Very
I mean,
big.
We'd make it right. We'd make sure Lamar Jackson got his money. That's all we want. We want Lamar Jackson to be represented how he plays on the field. That's it.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if Daniel Jones is making 40-something million, you're telling me Lamar Jackson doesn't earn that much or deserve that much? Come on. Come on.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But
it's just facts.
It's a good thing that the Commanders are being sold. It's always good to get new owners and new blood. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, especially a guy like Jeff Bezos, I'm sure he has great ideas to make the NFL even more innovative. I'm sure, you know, we'd start seeing, you know, the NFL game balls for, you know, the game, the first ball they're going to use, probably like delivered by like an Amazon drone or something. Or like we'd have drones like reset the ball on the field instead of referees. I mean, I'm sure it would be fantastic.
And like you said, you know, new blood. We've seen what it's done with the Mets. I don't know about you, but I like Steve Cohen. It adds some spice into the league.
I like it's him because he's like us. He plays. Yeah. He owns the Mets like I would own a team. You know, yeah, he just signs whoever he wants to sign. Yeah, exactly. I respect it. I don't like the Mets, but I respect Steve Cohen.
I know a lot of owners and people are upset. Well, we can't pay this. Like Steve Cohen. Well, that's too bad. Maybe you should have invested some more money into the team instead of pocketing it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
A's owner.
I didn't want to send any shots specifically, but yeah, Oakland A's.
Yeah, Oakland. Soon to be Oakland. Las Vegas A's.
Tampa. Yeah, I mean, everything circles back to Lamar Jackson. I got nothing else for this episode. Anything else you want to add?
No, just a little look forward to the next two episodes of this fine podcast in this establishment. Me and Tommy are going to be going head to head in our mock draft. Tommy, you know, last year
I was going to say
I got the first 15 picks right. It's my record.
You got a good track record. I don't know how you do it because you do it in sports that you don't even watch, like hockey. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how that brain's working.
I got the first 10 in hockey as well.
I know. I don't get how. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest.
I'm a genius.
You got a lot. I don't know how many in a row you got a lot in the NBA draft that one year. You've gotten a lot right in the NFL draft since I've known you. It'll be fun, though. We'll go back and forth who we think's getting drafted at this place and this place. Maybe we'll do it live. Who knows? You might have to tune in live. Probably won't. But it'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the next probably two episodes of picks 1 through 16, then 17 through 32. I think it'll be a lot of fun. They might go a little longer, but that's all right. But I got nothing else for this episode.
Nope.
How about you? I think, you know, this is kind of a little bit shorter of an episode. We only had to do one division, but we went a little bit more depth. So it is what it is. It ended up all good. But thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Armchair GMs. We will see you guys next time for our mock draft.
Peace.